Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, everybody. Now, before we get started, I wanted to thank every single one of you guys for being here. And thank you. And because it's a gift that you guys actually show up. And I would like to encourage you to think of something that would be a reward from our Father. And the first thing that pops to your mind, claim it. Take it. For if you sow, you shall reap. So you guys, just by showing up, helps me refine. And so you're giving. And so receive your rewards. So the teaching is Numbers chapter 20, verse 21. And it's going to be finding out what's really in you. And all of us, you hear the stories. You don't know who your friends are until you go through a divorce or you're moving. When you're a teenager or something, you don't know who your friends are until you're grounded and nobody comes by to see you or anything like that. You know, you go through something bad. Those are tests. Not every test is from Yahweh. But every test is a chance for you to refine yourself and to find out what's inside you. There was a time that we moved the refrigerator when I was in college, and when we did, there's disgusting things living underneath the refrigerator, all kinds of parasites. Something was made manifest. We didn't know that lived there. What did that mean? You got something to kill. You drop something on your foot, what comes out of your mouth?
Bad words.
It shouldn't. Yeah. That means your flesh is out of control. And so when you do slip and something bad happens, or you mouth off, or you let a word go, learn from it and say, no, I will kill my flesh. I didn't know my flesh would do that. And so these are tests. And so, with me, one time when Caven had seizures when we were in Colorado, my son had seizures and he falls down. It was one of the most scary things that ever happened. I ran that morning. I'd read like six chapters that morning. I spoke in tongues for my family that morning. I'd done all these things. I'd made him read. And after all that, that happened to Caven. But when he went to the hospital, you know what happened? I went, how could this have happened? And I was upset with Yahweh. And I vented. I just read the word with you. I spoke in tongues. I did this, and this happens to my son. And after that came out of me, I went, if anybody did everything that they could have, it was Jesus Christ and Yahweh to protect my son. I was blaming them. Didn't even know it was in me. What happens is when those things happen, you go, I got a target on you. So you're going deer hunting and you see coyotes, or you see a neighbor's dogs or wandering, chasing, eating deer. You got to die. And so with me, wonderful. Am I living in fellowship? Absolutely, I'm in fellowship. I had no idea I would turn on Yahweh just like that. I did, though. If you turn to Numbers chapter 20, and so I'm going to kind of give you a summation of why you guys are turning there. So Yahweh wanted Israel to go into the promised land. He promised Abraham and Isaac, and later on, I think in Deuteronomy, he's going to say, I promised the land of Canaan to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he also promised it to Moses. You are Israel. Okay. The prophecy is here. They blow it. What does Yahweh tell Moses? You are going to die in the desert. Your children, who you said were going to be prey, they will inherit the promise. Okay? 40 years later, and Dad pointed this out. In one book, it says this generation is going to die, but in another one, it says the men of war died. So the women did not. See, there was a lot of women. So here you are, about 40 years later, all the rebellious ones are about dead. You can imagine the young people going, you see any old guys left? Joshua, Caleb, that's about it. Man, all right, we're getting ready to go to the land of milk and honey. You guys ready? You better start stretching. Okay, what generation is getting ready to go in to subdue all this? The Joshua generation. These people, unlike Israel, they didn't... As far as the scriptures, we don't see a whole lot of gods and stuff, wickedness and the rebellion of the golden calves with Aaron and stuff like this. This is the Joshua generation. They're getting ready to enter in. Are they rebelling before Numbers 20? It doesn't appear. It appears everything's fine. And so then and Yahweh is going to specifically lead them to a place with no water. What do you think Moses is thinking? Moses is a prophet, right? Do you think Moses is ready to go? Yeah, we got everybody. It's about dadgum time. It took 40 years. We should have been there 40 years ago. Does your dad get upset when you guys are running behind? Can you imagine Moses? Let's get in there. Let's go do this. And all of a sudden, we get to this very unusual chapter. But what is the point? What is the lesson from chapter 20 and verse 21? And we'll show you what the lesson is. And the lesson is, and we'll go there. Sometimes I like to try to teach with hints and, you know, ahas, but I mess stuff up. The point is, Yahweh's refining them for war. They're getting ready to go to war. Do they think they're ready for war? Yeah. And what's going to happen is Yahweh's going to let them run out of water two times. The first show Moses how wicked, maybe, can you imagine maybe 20,000 people evil among them? What? Yeah, those guys are evil. Because in chapter 20, you can see it with family members turning on them. They're going to kill Moses. Moses, I believe, was shocked. What in the world's going on here? Okay. Before we read there, two other interesting things about Moses is when you read when Aaron built the golden calves, his younger brother Moses, who did all the signs of a prophet. Okay, I'm with my little brother. I go with this guy. Aaron was not necessarily malicious, but he was apparently weak at times. Moses goes up onto the mountain for how long before he builds the golden calf?
40 days.
40 days and 40 nights. How long is Moses gone?
40 days and 40 nights.
What in the world was Aaron thinking to build a golden calf? And I'm going to make a suggestion. I think he probably thought he was dead. If you read through here, it says, once the judge was dead, now we do whatever we want. It doesn't say that, but you're looking at Aaron. Aaron's not evil. What are you doing? But you can imagine if Moses is dead, and it says that Moses is delayed coming down, and Israel says that they're putting him to shame, and they go, what's up with this Moses? And I bet you they believe Moses isn't coming back, and this is going to be the next generation. So I believe that. And then when Moses, if that's true, can you imagine Aaron going, holy smokes, he's back! Hide the calves! But anyways, another interesting thing about Moses, about all this, is in Deuteronomy, over and over and over again, do you know what Moses says why he didn't go into the land of promise? Because of them. Them. Israel. Yahweh didn't let me suffer me to go in because he was angry with you. What would take more faith, going into war with Moses or with the new guy?
The new guy.
Don't we want President Trump to come back to fix everything?
Yes.
And so it would appear that the first generation, consequences is your unbelief, 40 years, circles. This generation, we're going to see with this, and then when you start reading Deuteronomy, Moses is going to say, I'm not allowed to go on because of you. And what does that mean? You guys, now you're really going to have to produce faith, a lot more faith, and Moses, you go retire, is what it appears. But somebody started reading chapter 20, verse 2 through 5.
And there was no water for the assembly, so they gathered together against Moses and against Aaron. And the people contended with Moses and spake, saying, would then we have died when our brethren died before Yahweh? Wherefore then hast thou brought this convocation of Yahweh into this desert to die there, we and our cattle? And wherefore did you cause us to come up out of Egypt, to bring us into this wretched place, not a place of seed and figs and vines and pomegranates, even water there is none to drink?
And I bet you this is a sobering for Moses going, holy, I can't believe you, Judas Iscariot, you guys are going to turn on me? This is the new generation. And sometimes you don't know who really loves you until you go through a hard time. You're like, what, you? And so with this, can you imagine Moses going, and Aaron, can you imagine Joshua going, you gotta be kidding me, you guys? And if you're caught off guard, some of the tests we go through, Yahweh is refining you. And he's refining you. And he's refining you. Why? These guys are getting ready to go to war. What happens with war? Yahweh says that if your brethren are in fear, don't let them go to war unless they dishearten you. He specifically said, Moses told them that. And you're going to find out there's so much unbelief in Israel, Yahweh's going to refine these people. And whenever you want to know what's going on, this is with me. Yahweh's been doing this over and over again. Why didn't you just tell me these things? Just explain it to me. You know what the thing keeps coming back to me? Aaron, who do you think you're talking to? I'm demanding explanations.
Yeah.
From who?
Yahweh, the Creator.
My employee? My tax accountant? No, the Creator of the universe who chooses to speak to me. You humble yourself and be thankful I speak to you at all. I give you visions and dreams. Humble yourself. Don't get cocky. And so with the running out of the water, there's going to be times in your life that all of a sudden your family is going to split. Or somebody's going to do something. And if you're not ready, I think the lesson here is going to be Yahweh is refining them for war. He's going to start getting rid of things. Why? You guys are going to die in war. Could it be there's a chance that in our own lives that you're getting ready to actually go to war? We've never been to war, have we? No. Do we want to know if a civil war is going to start? Not necessarily, if I don't have to. But Yahweh does. And if a civil war is going to blow up or a nuclear war, he's going to refine us. And so in this case, when these things like this things happen, we can look and instead of being, oh my goodness, I wanted to go to land of Canaan. I can't believe this is happening. The family split up. The church split. Instead of that, you're going to go, wait a minute. What's the purpose of this? So then if you read down to verse 10, here's Moses' response. Somebody read that for me.
And Moses and Aaron gathered together the convocation before the cliff. And he said unto them, hear, I pray you, ye rebels, out of this cliff must we bring forth for you water. And Moses lifted high his hand and smote the cliff with his staff twice. And there came forth water in abundance, and the assembly and their cattle did drink.
It's rebels. What did he call them? And there's a good chance he didn't know there were rebels in the camp before this. And right after this, we're going to read about Gideon being refined before war. And it says Yahweh was proving him. Some translations would say testing. It's refining. Steel is beaten and beaten. And they heat it up and they beat it. They get things ready. Yahweh is preparing us. He does not want you to go through unnecessary hardships. You're going to go through hardships. But he would like you to be as efficient as possible. Like a samurai sword. But here's Moses and Aaron. Can you imagine them going rebels? Can you imagine them going to sleep that night? How confusing would it be if I was them? We're getting ready to go to the land of promise, and now they're saying Yahweh's, and they're talking about Egypt? Mm-hmm. Who talked about Egypt 40 years ago? Egypt? Have you ever had that where you have a relationship with somebody and all of a sudden they bring up a fight from 5 years ago? You didn't put up the margarine! And you're like, are you, really? What else is going on here, man? There are rebels in the camp. They were infected with something. And here's Moses, and here's Aharon. And if you go to chapter 21, if you kind of read through that, what's interesting... go ahead. Chapter 21, we're going to read verse 4 through 6. So there's chapter 20 and chapter 21 is going to be a refining process, like Gideon. Somebody to read verse 4 through 6.
Then break they out from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea, to go around the land of Edom. And the soul of the people became impatient because of the way. So then the people spake against Elohim and against Moses. Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the desert? For there is neither bread nor water, and our soul does loathe this contemptible bread. And Yahweh sent among the people the poisonous serpents, and they bit the people, and much people out of Israel died.
What's the purpose of this? We're going to find out what the purpose is in just a second. Because guess what's going to happen later on in this chapter? They're going to war. And they're not going to war with some sissies. They're going to war with the real deal. And they're going to have to go in, and they're going to have to fight. And Yahweh's going, so Gideon, it was like, there's too many, I'm refining it. Here, you're going to go, holy cow, they turn on Yahweh right here and there. And they're complaining about the manna. Okay. Sometimes you don't know what's in you until you're being tested. I shared with Elijah what I didn't know after I quit football, is when I played football, I didn't know that I had my old man beat up. My old man was in a cage, baby. Because I couldn't do anything. I would have called it fun back then. I can't do anything fun. I got a game Friday. I got game film on Saturday. I got meetings on Sunday.
Well, don't you want to go to the party Monday night?
No way. I got practice on there. I got to go work out. And what I did not know is that through this discipline with sports, I'd become so good at beating the snot out of my enemy, my old man. Old man never got out of the cage. Never got out of the cage. He didn't have a chance until I quit football. And all of a sudden, now finally I'm going to have some fun. What I did not know is my old man was getting out. And what I would do is all of a sudden people that I love started pissing me off. This guy, you old boy, you're bothering me. And then this person, and then I started. And it probably took me a year to actually realize what happened. And I was just recently reflecting on that. Yeah, I was like, your old man got out.
Yeah.
But I was finding out what was in me. What is in me? You have an old man. All of us do. You got, and you're being tested. I was thinking about sports with Elijah. Going, holy moly! It took me a year. I wish somebody would have said, when you quit sports, be ready for your old man. It's like letting a dog, a evil dog, off its leash in the house. You're gonna go. You could have a mess. Now, what's the purpose of these tests? Because a lot of people die. It's very unusual with this bronze serpent. They have to look at this serpent, which was like a type of Jesus Christ, who later on we find out. So you have to look at Christ for healing. That's in the book of Hebrews. Very unusual, right? What's the purpose? What's the lesson? Verse 21 through 31, if somebody would read that.
Then sent Israel messengers unto the Sihon king of the Amorites, saying, let me pass through thy land. We will not turn aside into field or unto vineyard, nor will we drink the water of the well. By the king's road we will go until we get through the boundary. And Sihon suffered not Israel to pass through the boundary. But Sihon gathered together all of his people and came forth to meet Israel toward the desert and entered Jahaz and fought with Israel. Keep going.
Did you read the 31?
Oh, no, I didn't hear 31. And Israel smote him with the edge of the sword and took possession of his land from Ammon and Jabbok unto the sons of Ammon, for strong was their boundary of the sons of Ammon. So Israel took all the cities, and Israel dwelt in all the cities of the Amorites and the Heshbon and in all their villages. For as Heshbon, the city of the Sihon, king of the Amorites, it was, he having fought with the former king of Moab, and taken all his land out of his land into Arnon. For this cause, say the poets, enter ye Heshbon, built and prepared be the city of Sihon. For a fire hath come forth out of the Heshbon, a flame out of the strong hold of Sihon. It hath consumed Ar of the Moab, the idols of the high places of Arnon. Woe to thee, Moab, that thou art lost. O people of Chemosh, he hath given up his sons as fugitives and his daughters into captivity unto the king of Amorites, Sihon. Then we shot them. Heshbon is destroyed as far as Dibon. Then laid we waste as far as Naphtoph. A fire reacheth. So then Israel dwelt in the land of the Amorites.
What's the point? They were getting ready to go to real war. Can you imagine after this war them cleaning their blades? Worn out, going, how did I? There's one guy, I think it was one of David's mighty men, his hand had to be peeled off his sword. These guys are going, does Yahweh require you to earn things? Can you, after this, going, I'm so glad those other people are dead. Because we can't handle any unbelief in the camp. Mm-hmm. One person, like the rumors, like the 10 spies, had one person say, there's no point in any elections. John Shea and I said, the United States is a little Satan now. This guy did. I mean, this is a quote from another guy. And I was going to rebuke him because what he's doing is he's spreading rumors to cause unbelief. And Yahweh's going to curse you. You know, you're going to be cursed for this. But the whole thing is, when there's people like that, cut them out. Block them. Because you don't know when your guy's going to be going to hand-to-hand combat, somebody possibly breaking into your house or anything like that. You don't know. And when friends, you lose friends, loved ones, girlfriends, whatever. If you're in fellowship and you go, I don't understand what happened with that. Nevertheless, I still got you. I got you, and if I got you, that's all I need. And nothing can be taken that you can't restore. Thank you for being there with me, and let it refine you. You can vent. Vera and I were just talking about venting. If you read the Psalms, at the beginning of some of the Psalms, they're very depressing. But they don't end depressed. Yeah. They come back. But you, Psalms 22, my God, what have you forsaken me? You keep reading it, because, and it's just the opposite. Vent! But they come back and speak faith into your mission and speak blessings to Yahweh. You are worthy of everything, every drop of blood. I don't deserve a friend. I don't deserve a country. I don't deserve eyes, ears, nose, fingers, toes, any of this stuff. Yet, you deserve it. And then speak it and speak it. And then when people get cut out, if it is people, if you look at the word, it's always people pulling you down. Ahab with Jezebel, Samson with Delilah, and then the fornication. You see the same things over and over again, over again. But let them refine. Okay, so they just get done with a huge war. I bet you there's some rejoicing afterwards going, dude, you jumped over a wall, Eli. How'd you do that? Because David said, with my God, I can jump over a wall. Can you imagine seeing Isaiah jump over a wall? You're like, whoa, man, this is like some sort of video games when we're with Yahweh. And when you saw somebody do that, what would that do to your faith?
Build it up.
More and more and more and more. Then look at verse 32. Would somebody read that?
And Moses sent to spy out at Jazer, and they captured the villages thereof and depossessed the Amorites.
Right there, so it's verse 32. What happened in verse 32? Next war. Mm-hmm. Two wars, back to back. Rest, relax, enjoy. No. Let's get to work. And here this is, and things have been cold out and cut out. And then in our own lives, you don't know about your own man, your old man, until you're exhausted or you drop something on your foot, in my case. And all of a sudden, a bad word comes out. I didn't even know that was in there. Well, the good point is, you know it's in there. Now, what are you going to do with it? I'm going to kill that sucker. Turn to Judges chapter 7. And we'll end in Judges chapter 7. And also reflect on Joshua 7 also. Judges 7, Joshua 7. When you're looking at Vero ministered to me, and she's really been encouraging me and prophesying about me and Gideon, about the testing Yahweh. I'm not going to do this unless you tell me I have to do it. Now, if you tell me I have to do it, I'll do it. Wait, you really want me to do it? 2 days later, as it got away, I'm like, I'll give you another day, just in case. 4 days go by, and he's still there, like, should I give him a month? I don't. It didn't disappear, but nevertheless, she was encouraging me. And Gideon goes, I'm the weakest of this, I'm this. Is it accurate? Yeah. And it appears Yahweh loves to choose the 1 Corinthians 1:27. Anybody know it? Yahweh chooses the foolish things to confound the wise. Gideon, you got nothing? Perfect. Isaiah, you're being called to be, or Elijah, you're going to be the guy that's going to be doing, I don't want to do the taxes for the whole family, or whatever. And so Yahweh looks at Gideon, he looks at, and with David, who did he look for? I need more glory here. I need more glory. And there, here's a teenager. And so here's David. So we'll read verse 2 through 4, please.
7?
Yeah.
And Yahweh said unto Gideon, too many are the people that are with thee for me to deliver the Midianites unto their hand, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand hath saved me. Now therefore proclaim, I pray thee, in the ears of the people, saying, whoso feareth and trembleth, let him turn and go back from Mount Gilead. And there returned to the people 22,000, and 10,000 remained.
You guys understand, it was 35,000 versus 135,000 before that. We got 35,000, we're going against 135. Anybody want to do the math on that? You get that 800, you get that 800, whatever it was, and it was too many. An interesting thing before we go on with Gideon, which we're all really familiar with, is I was recently reading, Yahweh's asking me to produce a lot more faith in the time. I don't want to produce more faith. Give me more money, that gives me more time, then I'll do it, right? And you know what? The kids might not get this, but the adults will. Yahweh gives you an income. You have an income, right? He's never promised tomorrow's income, next year's. if your income get disappeared, would you? As I was reading this, when they're running out of water, I'd be pissed. Yeah. Where's my money? Are you kidding me? 20 years, 21 years I've had this business for you, and now I lose all my licenses and I can't do any of it? I had a really good income. Ooh, wait a minute, what's coming out of my mouth?
Yeah.
If he's giving you an income this year, are you going to revolt if you don't have an income next year? I never thought that until I was reading about that, going, my income stopped. For the breadwinners and stuff, it's just good things to think about. Now go to verse 4. Let somebody read that.
Then said Yahweh to Gideon, yet are the people too many. Take them down into the waters, that I may prove them for thee there. And it shall be that he of whom I say unto thee, this watch right there,
so he's going to prove them. So the Hebrew word, Strong's number, 06884. It's spelled T-S-A-W hyphen R-F, Sarath. But the word is, it can be smelting, refining. Yahweh, there's always a purpose to his reasons. My ways are not your ways. Well, just next time, make sure you explain everything to me before we do this. Is that so much to ask? Who are you talking to? Never mind, forget that. I'll do whatever you say. Just complete your head. Yeah, delete that. So on Facebook, you can unsend messages. Wouldn't that be great? If I can unsend some talks to Ali Yahweh. He's refining us. He's refining Moses. He's refining Israel. He's refining Joshua and Caleb. Here's Joshua and Caleb. And here's Judges. He's refining. There's a purpose. There's a war going on. There's more things on the line than just your income, Aaron. There's more things on the line than just your bread and water, Israel. We got to get rid of these people. And the problem, my promise, is to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. What's really important is another interesting thing about back in chapter 20, verse 14. If you read right above verse 14, would somebody read the context? Chapter 20, verse 14.
What book?
Numbers. Oh, I'm sorry, we didn't go Judges. In Numbers, on Numbers chapter 20, this is always so bizarre to me. Because they're getting ready to go to war. Moses, they're going to war. They're killing giants. They're doing all kinds of things. And then they come unto Edom. What does Edom mean? Your dad's got a lot of it.
Yes.
Not yet. Red. Esau is hairy and red. Who is his brother? Jacob. So Moses goes to Edom, the descendants of Edom, says, let us go through. No. Please. No. Okay, if you say so. And they leave him alone. What's up with that? And as I was reading that, Yahweh gave me received some light. That's like the marriage feast. You're being invited. Who's going to get to watch this? Who is the father of Edom, Esau? Anyone? Isaac. Is Isaac going to get to watch this?
Oh, yeah.
At the resurrection, to get to see how Yahweh was taking care. Here, Isaac, you see the Edomites? We gave him a shot, right? You did. Thank you. So what was it? But to me, that's just like inviting to the... Do you guys know about the marriage feast? They're going to invite somebody to the wedding, and some people didn't show up. Okay. But... So the purpose of Numbers chapter 20 and 21, I believe, is what is the purpose? You look at it and go, what's the lesson that's being taught here? They're being refined for war. And I believe that Yahweh is refining us. And he will. And if we learn from it and take that lesson, then we could be ready. In football, like extreme sports or extreme education or any extreme discipline, it doesn't have to be sports, but really intense, you get to learn what's inside of you, don't you? And the people, the coaches usually you hate the most are the ones that get the most out of you somehow. I never want to be their friends. I would not want to spend the weekend with them. But somehow they can get like an animal out of me, and they put me in a tight spot, and diamonds are produced on the football field. Goal line stances, they run until you puke. You think they're going to die. Why am I playing football? I should be hunting deer like all my friends, all these things. And then you win, go to the state championship. Yahweh's doing the same thing with all of us. He's refining us. So if you're ready for the test, then it can help you pass the test and refine yourself. And one of the biggest tests is, and not, again, not every test is from Yahweh, but is your old man. When you drop something on your foot, if something comes out, you're going to go, okay, I got something to kill here. So, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for every believer that's in here. And I just speak blessings over Veronica and Israel, Elijah, Isaiah, Melania, Mom and Dad. You are not a man that you'd be mocked at. You sow, you'll reap. I just speak blessings into your lives, and I thank you for all of us being prepared for the test you have. And I thank you for helping us be there for other people going through the tests. Know, my sons and my daughters, that I am more patient than you could ever imagine with you, that I wait upon you. I have my son listen to you. My son waits, and he waits for you to ask for help. He waits for you to ask for explanations and clarity. And then he takes his time. My son takes his time to explain what you're going through. Parents don't have the time to explain these things to you, and yet my son does. So do not hesitate to ask for help. Ask for clarity. And when you don't get more clarity and help, ask for strength. Ask for peace. And when you don't get, if you don't get strength and peace, give me blessings. Count your blessings. Sing to me, and I'll overflow you like a living well of water. Amen.